Welcome to the first ever episode of the Giraffe Feels podcast. The plan right now is to do this twice monthly, although that will be in flux as I figure out what amount of time I have to create and produce it. Get in touch if you have comments or ideas for sure. Social media coordinates can be found at the end of the episode. Primarily, Giraffe Feels is going to be a podcast about retro gaming, but some modern games too. Video games changed the course of my life in many ways and were often part of the events that shaped it, as we will see in this episode. This episode is about Castlevania III: Dracula's Curse, a game that came into my life at a pretty low point, and then, years later, influenced the direction of my academic career. Seriously, it really did, I swear. So join me, won't you, on the first episode of the Giraffe Feels podcast. It's going to take a few minutes to set this up, so bear with me, okay? When I was in fifth grade, I had a premonition that things were about to take a turn for the worse. I was sitting on the floor in science class. We were watching movies all day at the end of the year because our classes had wrapped up a week early. One of the bad kids in our grade, he even had a Bart Simpson haircut that was supposedly banned from our middle school, was goofing off, messing with a few other kids. I was minding my own business and suddenly he turned to me, this nasty grin on his face, and dumped a pile of pencil shards on my head. Everyone around me, including the kids that I had spent the year hanging out with after meeting them in summer camp, totally turned on me and laughed along with him. I went to the bathroom, cleaned myself up, and puked in a toilet from the anxiety flooding my body. I just knew I was doomed. That fall, after spending the summer hanging out, playing a lot of Nintendo games, and even attending the Nintendo World Championship, where I've made the final round of kids and was even pictured in Nintendo Power, school began. This is where the direction of my life changes forever. About a week into the school year, I forgot to go to the bathroom at the end of resource room like I normally did. My third period teacher, this was for science class, made it clear we could not go to the bathroom during class. I had never had a teacher who made such a statement, so I took it very seriously and began a routine where I would go before class. Then came one day where I forgot. I had to go really bad during science class and I ended up wetting myself after my teacher didn't acknowledge my raised hand. As you can imagine, this did not go over well with my classmates. A lot of bad stuff happened after that, a lot of stuff that I didn't really deal with until I was well into adulthood. I ended up so psychologically damaged by the bullying and shame I felt that I began going to the bathroom two or three times a class because of my own paranoia about the same thing happening again. Most of my teachers rolled with this, a few did not. I ended up with a kidney infection or something like that. Honestly, my parents don't really want to talk about this time, and at the time, I was just terrified of whatever was happening to me. I ended up going to a urologist. This is where Castlevania 3 comes into the story. My urologist was in the same strip mall as the ShopRite that we went to. On a rainy early evening, I went to my appointment with my mother. On the way out, my mother suggested that we go to the video store and rent a few games for the weekend. That sounded good to me, and we headed to the town next to ours, which was called Netcong, which you might be familiar with if you read Gilbert Sorrentino's literary masterpiece, The Aberration of Starlight. This video store often had games right when they came out, which back then was a bit timey-wimey. Release dates were fluid, and if you see a date on a website like, say, Wikipedia or something like that, it doesn't really mean that the game was everywhere like today, where if a game comes out on September 14th, it's probably in most places September 14th. When we got to the store, I immediately saw the game I wanted, Castlevania 3. I loved Castlevania 2. It was one of the first video games that I beat. I loved the RPG elements before I even really knew what that was, and impressed my child study team case manager with the map I drew of different parts of the game. I have a vivid memory of sitting in the back of the car. I think we also picked my brother up from CCD on the way home. And I was staring at the game, so excited to play a new adventure with the Belmonts, this time with Trevor Belmont instead of Simon. Simon's portrayal on Captain N the Game Master was so embarrassing that it was probably for the best to have a new protagonist. Trevor Belmont came with friends, who I was so excited to meet after reading about them in issue 18 of Nintendo Power, which had a huge guide for the game. I got home and played Castlevania 3 for hours. I got Grant and escaped the clock tower in its gigantic swinging hands. I went a bit further into the game, but didn't have enough time to finish before we had to return it. My password remained tacked up on my wall, though. I didn't beat the game until that summer, when I rented it again after watching a friend beat the game at their house. This was a new friend I had found after embracing fantasy novelists like David Eddings, Terry Brooks, and that Tolkien guy, although I liked Eddings and Brooks more than Tolkien. I literally took notes on my friend's progress through Castlevania 3. I remember his younger sister calling me a nerd. I have this random memory of their mother being super psyched about Michael Bolden. This friend will come up a lot later. I had no idea that the role-playing game influence on Castlevania 2 was controversial until years later, when I began viewing fan websites on the internet. Castlevania 3's return to form, so to speak, modeled itself after the side-scrolling platform aesthetic of the first Castlevania game. I felt, and still do, very comfortable whipping my way through levels of this game. The major shift, which to an extent was a prelude to the so-called Metroidvania games like Symphony of the Night and the amazing Rondo of Blood, was the ability to choose which path you took through the game. Eventually, of course, the paths merged, but a gamer could weave through different paths and never even see some parts of the game. I did a replay of the game a few years ago and ran into a level I'd never seen. I was so excited for this level of choice because it felt new, even though it really wasn't. Choose Your Own Adventure books that existed when I was a kid, and so had text adventure games like Adventure and Zork. A few years before, I had felt quite daring running around the top part of Legend of Zelda near Death Mountain with only a wooden sword and a lot of luck. It felt so unruly, and like I was breaking some set of unwritten rules. I loved every moment of it. Unruly, despite clinging to the aesthetics of the original Castlevania, is a good way to describe Castlevania 3. Do you take the upward or downward path? Do you keep doing that or alternate somehow? Do you get Grant again this time, or do you go to the lower path to get Sypha, who quickly became one of my favorite characters in video games because she was a woman who wasn't a princess or anything like that? Not that there's anything against princesses, but as an adolescent, that kind of thing wasn't really my style. Her gender ambiguity, due to some erroneous translations in the American version, further intrigued me as I went through adolescence obsessed with that kind of ambiguous gender aesthetic. When I play the game now, I always take her along with me. Their embrace at the end of the game warmed my 12-year-old heart. Hey, just wanted to cut in before we wrap things up. I have one more story to tell about Castlevania 3. I swear it did affect my academic career. You'll see in a minute. And just a thank you for listening to the first episode of the Draft Feels podcast. Hopefully everything sounds okay. I've been messing around with each segment in Audacity, hoping that, you know, it comes out pretty good. I just have this old USB mic that it sounded pretty good back in the day. I did a music podcast back in the, about, I probably started, yeah, about 10 years ago, actually, and did that on and off for a bunch of years, and for the most part, things just sounded okay back then, but I'm sure if I went back and listened, I'd probably cringe at some of it. So, you know, if there's something that doesn't sound good or you've got an idea, hey, you know, this doesn't sound right, but here's how you can fix that. Let me know. Please. Giraffefeels.net is the website. Giraffefeelspod is, for most social media, gonna be the username for Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. There isn't much up on any of those yet, but I'm gonna start getting content up soon. I'm a big fan of PlayStation 4 screenshots, so you're gonna get a whole bunch of those. As time goes on, I have, you know, hundreds of them, and we'll get some stuff up there as we go on here. Our next episode is going to be a mix of my favorite Mega Man music from the first six games, so that'll be pretty cool. I want to do some of those mixes like that and dive deep into why they're my favorite tracks. I love the music in Mega Man, the entire series, really. They're so good. Our next episode after that is going to be about Valkyria Chronicles. I'm trying to get one of my friends to come on to do an occasional show with me where it's just the two of us talking, and if I can get her on, we're going to focus on Valkyria Chronicles for that episode, so that should be cool. Alright, I've been talking for way too long. Let's get back to the end of the episode and, you know, get in touch, please. Alright, cool. And finally, something else that Castlevania III inadvertently did was influence the direction of my academic career. When I got to college, I was introduced to hypertext fiction in a course. I had known about it as a teenager, but I wasn't super familiar until the class I took where we read classics like Shelley Jackson's Patchwork Girl, a retelling of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and Stuart Moulthrop's Victory Garden, which was so heavily influenced by my favorite author Jorge Luis Borges. When we began reading the first one, which I think was Patchwork Girl, the thought that popped into my head was, hey, cool, this is just like Castlevania 3. Despite games being more and more nonlinear, perhaps, honestly, maybe too nonlinear these days, I never thought I would actually say that, but, you know, I'm saying it out loud. Castlevania 3 was the game that stuck out in my mind. I ended up writing my thesis about Borges as an undergrad, an author that heavily influenced hypertext fiction, and then writing my thesis in grad school about a couple of other works of hypertext fiction, specifically The Unknown Collective's The Unknown and Caitlin Fisher's These Waves of Girls. My fascination with the forking paths of Castlevania III led me to my academic research interests years later. Ah, wait, I just put in the help me username. Remember, you can put that in to get 10 extra lives. There are some other codes you can put into to get different characters at the beginning of the game. And we're going to have one more segment here, because I just got a new Blue Vita mic in the mail today. I've heard a lot of good things about it, mostly from Leo Laporte over at Twit has mentioned it a bunch of times over the years on his radio shows and podcasts, and I actually did a search on the site and found a bunch of references to it. So hopefully there's a decent increase in sound quality. I did a couple test recordings and it sounded pretty good. So, hopefully, like I said, hopefully this sounds better. And moving forward, the quality will be better than with the previous mic. So, again, the Giraffe Feels podcast is written, edited, produced, and performed by me, William Wend. You can follow me on Twitter at WPWEND. Giraffe Feels Pod is the username to follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We also have a YouTube page that is linked on the website. There's a couple of videos up there, just like random stuff that I've put up from the PS4, and I put up When Valkyria Chronicles came out, I put up the first 45 minutes or so of me playing it, so a couple of my friends could see what the game was all about. Starting next episode, also, we will have a Patreon account. In the next couple days, I'm going to look into getting that set up. More information will be found in that episode. I'd like to raise a little bit of funds, first off, to pay for this fancy mic, and to do some other stuff. I'd like to do some money raising for charity, like what Kevin Larrabee does with the FitCast and Back in My Play. I have some ideas for that that you'll run by listeners pretty soon. Hopefully we will be on iTunes soon as well. I've never submitted something to iTunes before, so I've heard mixed results about how like painful or painless that is. Our next episode, as I said, will be a mix of my favorite music from Mega Man 1 through 6. I'm also going to talk about those games a bit, particularly Mega Man 2, which, as I've seen from many other people, is kind of the most beloved game of the series. And we'll talk about 1 a bit. We'll talk about why I didn't like 3 when it came out, but now I've grown to appreciate it. And we'll talk about 4, 5, and 6 as well. I'm doing a playthrough with the Mega Man Legacy collection of all these games, and I'm right at the end of 4 right now. We're also going to have an episode after that about Valkyria Chronicles. If you have time before that episode comes out, it'll be helpful to read Nadia Oxford's recent essay about the game. I put a link in our show notes. In July, if all goes well, we'll also do episodes about Final Fantasy IV, Dragon Age Inquisition, and have a new mixtape episode. So thanks for listening, and hopefully you check out the Mega Man episode. Alright, see ya!